And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March the 21st, 2020. It is Season 14, Episode 9. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And
I'm Nathan. Sorry.
Man.
It was delayed.
It shouldn't be delayed anymore. I got you on the air now. So, gotcha. Nate joins us by phone, self-quarantining himself. Which you have good reason to, and I understand your reasons, and they make perfect sense. As they do, and I'm glad you're doing that. I didn't even think about it, you know, when we were talking about you coming up, but then when you told me today, I was like, oh, that's actually, that's a great idea for you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, glad that's taken care of. But thanks for joining us on the phone.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to my wife, and I was like, I'd hate to miss the show. I'm like, well, wait, I could just call in. I'm like, that shouldn't be an issue. So.
No, it really shouldn't. You should be able to do that no problem, and that's what we're going to try. Have you by phone as long as we can, and maybe the entire show. So we'll see.
Sounds good.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, well, I mean, you can call, but I'll have to put Nate on hold because I'm not going to chance doing the whole conference calling thing and hanging up on him and everything else. So
it's a 50-50 proposition.
It is, but we do want you to call. I'm just going to, I'm just going to put him on hold and take your call. So we do want you to call. If you've got, anything gaming related you want to talk about, 334-272-9228 is the number. Maybe you want to tell us how you're coping with whatever it is you have to cope with in your area, how it's going for you. I mean, it's not very, I don't want to say it's not severe here. Trust me, it's severe other places, but, we're just doing our part here. But maybe in other countries or maybe in other parts of this country, you are... it's a little bit more strict for you, and you are stuck at home. So what are you doing to pass the time? What games are you playing? That sort of thing. You can give us a call at 334-272-9228. We're streaming right now on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv, click on the search bar there, type in-game chat, and go right to us. Or, even better, just go to our website, ingamechat.net, and click on the... that's a neat word. You click the link. Just clink. Yeah. Or you can click on the link there to go straight to our channel on Twitch. So that's what we're doing right now. So we got a chat room in there right now. Nate is in there. I'm in there. RJ is in there. And we've also got AC Wraith, Fubel Plays It, Leprechaun 9, Lethal Migraine, and Steven Van Damme hanging out in the chat room. Thank you guys for spending some of your Saturday with us as we go through this whole thing. So... lots to talk about today. We'll talk about what we played. I have been playing Destiny. That is it. Not as much as I normally play it, but enough to get by. They've taken out so many... They dropped the ritual weapons, which are the things that you have to really grind for in either strikes. Well, there's a weapon for strikes, weapon for crucible, weapon for gambit. They have dropped all three of those. So there is none of that for me to have to go after, which usually was most of what I spent my time grinding, mm-hmm. was all the stuff you had to do to get those weapons, and those aren't there now. So I am not in that much of a grind. I'm guessing, though, a lot of people wish they were in there, because now that they're stuck at home, they would have something to do and put more time and effort into it, but it's not there, so... but that's all I played was Destiny. And Nate, we haven't talked to you in forever. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Ori, which released a couple days ago. Probably about, I don't know, a quarter of the way through.
The sequel, Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yes, Will of the Wisps, correct, yeah. But I'll go into that a little bit more later in a little bit. And then the other thing I'm playing is still Escape from Tarkov, trying to better myself. I've gotten fairly comfortable in that game now, handling situations. this morning, this is going to sound ultra nerdy, but I think I spent about every bit of 30, 45 minutes of going to a website that you use to like practice your FPS and movement and stuff like that. And I was trying to fine-tune my DPI because I just, the having a larger screen, so I have a 32-inch Predator monitor with a G-Sync and all that. But so the bigger the monitor, the more DPI you need. And so I've never took the time to adjust, and it's been killing me forever. So it's finally... probably gotten that adjusted and been getting a lot more comfortable now with FPS and such.
I think it would be because the bigger the screen, the more area you have to cover with your wrist and the mouse movement, that thing, things like that?
Correct, yep. To get the bigger the resolution, the more it requires your mouse to move.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, 1080p, a standard is 800 DPI versus on a 1440, it's like 1,040 something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just, you know, I never bothered messing with my mouse at all. So now I've got, you know, three or four different profiles to hot swap between. And,
General all purpose, and then gaming settings, I guess, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Although the Logitech mouse, which is pretty sweet, is that some games they have profiles built in for it. Mm-hmm. So like you launch into PUBG, when you aim down your scope, it automatically sinks down your DPI to help you aim.
I've got a button like that on my mouse that doesn't slow it up when I aim down the scope. It's just a separate button that if I do need it, I can press it, and all of a sudden, I mean, that thing is just precise.
I have that same thing, but you have the 502.
No, mine's a Corsair.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have it. But what this does is if they have the profile built in, it'll, for certain games, like with PUBG, once I aim, it does the same thing as that button.
Right.
Which is, you know, kind of makes it a little easier. But yes, I've been playing that. Also been playing a little bit of Switch now that home a little bit longer. Been trying to finish up Golf Story because I've never beaten that game. That's one of the games that just didn't want it to end. So,
what is your situation like? How long are you home? What's the deal?
So all the casinos are closed front of house. So
let people tell, or if you can tell people what you do.
Oh yeah, I'm in IT security for the Porch Creek Indians, Wind Creek.
Right. So he's in IT for the casino. He does not work the front. He works the IT of the casino. So just to let you know. And anyway, your situation is currently what now? How long are you home?
Just at the moment, until the 30th.
Okay.
Working remotely.
Now, at that point, they're going to what, reassess or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could already do your job from home anyway, couldn't you?
I mean, you know, it's always a lot easier to do it from work, but I can, you know, make it work.
I mean, that's true. We had a situation here this morning. Where I was logged in, and I could see things, but there was a certain part of the building that was cut off from the internet, and there was no way of fixing that without a body in the building to do something about it. So, I mean, it's good until it doesn't work.
Most of my stuff I can do remotely, but there's some things that, you know, just personal preference.
No, I understand.
Like at the moment, we're just working on patches and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than that, really, this is the main three things I've been playing.
RJ, what about you?
I was playing Destiny 2 as well, but I got to ask you a question.
Me? A question? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
if we're talking Destiny 2, I guess you are going to ask me a question.
You're the resident expert on this.
Why do you still play it? That's your question.
No. The Ace of Spades. Is it worth getting?
Ace of Spades?
Yes.
Is it worth getting?
No. No, it's not. It's not worth getting. I mean, it's only worth getting if you have some sort of sentimental attachment to what it means, you know, in story and lore, that sort mm-hmm. of thing, because of the connection to Cade
mm-hmm.
And that in his story and lore as well. Usefulness, it's more useful in PvP than it is in PvE, and I know you don't play PvP, so that's why I'm saying no.
No, because there was a lot of incidents where I was seeing the ground floor, because I'm just trying to get through a lot of old stuff, really.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's all I got left to do in there. Well, that's all I can do, really, because I can't do the current season story, because you have to be like 980 or 9, something like that.
Yeah.
And I've only got to 950 on my Titan so far.
Yeah.
So when I saw the things about having to go through Crucible, okay, it says get a bunch of kills with the hand cannon. Okay, and then it says go through Gambit, which I've never done before. So I went through about 5 matches of Gambit before I filled that requirement. Then it told me to get 250 kills in strikes with a hand cannon.
Mm-hmm.
So I slogged through that.
Yeah, what step are you on?
Well, I just got through that. I just finished that step.
Yeah, what's next?
And it was 25 precision kills in Crucible.
With a hand cannon.
With a hand cannon.
With a hand cannon?
With a hand cannon. So at that point, I was starting to question, is this thing really worth the getting?
Is that your last step? Do you know?
I don't know how many steps there are. I know how Destiny's known for tedious trials that you have to go through to get some of this exotic stuff anyway.
Hang on, I'll tell you. I think that is the last step. The Ace of Spades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. That's it. The next mission that they have is. The next thing you have to do is go to. Four different places and open some chests there. You don't have to fight. You just got to open four treasure chests.
Cade stash
stuff.
Like okay.
And then there's a mission on Titan that is specifically to get the gun called Ace in the Hole. And that's a really good one to play
mm-hmm.
because there's a set of... There's like a... All through the entire thing, there's treasure chests that you can unlock after you kill a wave of enemies that come through.
Right.
And they're not that hard, especially with you at 950. You'll be fine. But once you kill them and open up the chest, it is a chest for certain people back at the tower. And he's reading this sort of like, you know, his last letters of like, oh, so it was you that killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything is like, oh, so it was you that did it, or it was you. Well, here's my parting gift to you, or here's my thing. Because the person who kills whatever they're called, the Vanguard, a person of the Vanguard,
mm-hmm.
In lore, gets like all of their stuff, or at least Cade said that. The person who kills me will get all of my stuff, you know?
Oh,
get everything of mine.
To the person who killed me, you get all of my stuff along with my debts, and here's a list, and here's the list, and the file attaches too big for print.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
You get everything of mine if you're the guy that killed me. And so each one is like a representation of, oh, it was you that did it. Oh, it was you. Until you get the gun. So,
mm-hmm.
That's a nice little end cap off the off that mm-hmm. whole storyline and stuff. I don't know. Are you stuck at home or are you working?
No, I'm working.
You working too. Well, yeah. I was going to say, if you're stuck at home, just sit there and play and just boom, boom, boom. You'll eventually get really good with a handgun, I can tell you that,
mm-hmm.
While you're trying to do that. But, it's a long slog.
It's a long, tedious process, which I'm getting very familiar with in Destiny 2. There's a lot of long, tedious processes in that game.
But you'll get through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put hand cannons in both slots. So that you can switch up and find one that works well for you that you've got. And
I've been working with, two I've worked with a lot. One for my Hunter and one for my Titan. Better Devils and the Old Fashioned.
Better Devils. I love Old Fashioned.
Yeah,
Better Devils is really good. Old Fashioned is good. There's a hand cannon from Gambit called Trust mm-hmm. that is very stable. It's one of your elemental hand cannons, fire, mm-hmm. I think. It's extremely just sturdy when you're, like, you know, when you're firing at the thing, thing barely moves once you do a fire. So, I mean, I like that, but, you got to play to your style. And I forgot to do this. You got to play to your style, and you got to find out what that style is. Mm-hmm. And I know you don't do a lot of PvP, so you just got to play until you figure out what your style is with hand cannons that gets you the best, and then go from there. Let me do this real quick.
Good job. Well, my style involves, like, weird for a Titan, I know, but my style involves like long distance and a scout rifle. I mean, ever since I picked up that Song of Justice 6, that's my go-to weapon. And scout rifles, I've always loved scout rifles, but the range and
hey, you'll be glad because there's a I thought there was a no, it's gone now. Never mind. It's one of those you had to do it during the season to get it. Randy's
Matchstick.
No, that's the new one. Randy's throwing knife. Randy's throwing knife was a scout rifle. It was a good scout rifle. But you had to do a lot of crucible to make it work. So and it was horrible.
Probably never got it then.
But yeah, so there, you'll have to make your own judgment on that. Yeah. I mean, if you ever got to play crucible or just feel like going in, make sure you take a hand cannon with you and just chip away at the thing.
I mean, I have to. I mean, I got a Better Devils and I have to go there anyway. And I've come, like I said, I've come this far, so why not go through to the end?
Hey, Nate, hang on because we've got another call. I tell you what, I'm going to try this, Nate. If not, just call me back, okay? Nate,
okay.
There you are. Okay. Let's see. I think I hit this button, and then I hit this button. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me, Chris.
Oh, it's Chris. Is Nate still there?
I'm still here.
Hey, look at there. I got comms call.
Cool. Didn't mess up this time. But and, how y'all all doing?
You're good. I'm not that confident that I'm not going to screw it up. But yeah, go ahead.
How y'all
still
all
got
doing
to hang up
during this nutty mess that's going on now?
Yeah, are you stuck at home?
No, I'm working. It's just the skeleton crew, just me and another guy, basically the youngest ones that have the best chances of surviving in case we get it. You know, the other ones, you know.
Let the youngsters do it. That's exactly, like, if I was ever going to have kids, that's my whole mantra, is get out there, cut the grass, paint the house, do this other stuff that, yeah, you're young, you got the energy, go do it.
Hey, Chris, it sounds like the folks who have seniority get off and the other ones just are just out of luck.
Yeah, with our little section with the supply warehouse with AODOT, you know, the big boss, you know, our boss is off because he has to take care of his mother, and she's 80 plus and she has the dementia, so that's a concern for them, so he has to stay away and clean. Melissa, my immediate supervisor, has kids, so she has to watch them. One of the other guys is, you know, 70 plus, so his age is a concern, so me and the other guy, Lucas, you know, we're the young bucks, as you would say. So we've been spraying everything down like crazy and singing happy birthday so many times. We can't count how many times we've washed our hands. For anybody listening, that's a reference to the milk and bread guy on YouTube that, you know, kind of makes fun of the situations like this and all. But I also got a very, very rare video game system in just today that I just spent my tax returns on.
Okay, what'd you get?
Have you ever heard of the Pioneer Laser Active laser disc player?
I've heard of a laser disc player, obviously, but, well, you know what? Maybe that one. I bet if I saw it, I would know exactly what it looks like, or at least I would recognize it.
I want to say I heard of it, but
it's one that, you know, it was still around $600 to $800 when it came out, but in the left bottom corner on the front, they had these little areas where you could put in these packs. You know, they called it PAC, and it was basically Adams. Like, one of them was a karaoke device where you could use it to play karaoke stuff. They had one for the Sega Genesis, which allowed you to play Sega Genesis cartridges in it and Sega CD games with the CD tray that would open up on the system. And they also made Sega LD games or Laserdisc games that were on a full Laserdisc, which on all the different ones, the Japanese or the American packs for the Sega and the NEC or the TurboGrafx systems, the LD games were region-free, so if you had the Japanese or the American version of that pack for those LD games, it didn't matter. But, you know, for the actual console games like, you know, the Sega Genesis and Sega CD, it, you know, since I have the American version of that pack, I can only play the American version of those games. But the LD games for either one of those are region-free, so I could get a Japanese Sega Genesis pack and play, you know, an American LD version of the game on it if I could ever find one dirt cheap.
Yeah. Good luck finding that then. I mean,
yeah,
a whole bunch of stuff. Open a lot of things up if you go over to get your hands on that.
Yeah, so I got one of those working and I just got done testing it. It still has some audio out issues and I think it's just wore out or dirty connections, but Mm-hmm. It, you know, it does work right now, so I know I can fix it later on or replace it. Most likely it may be the capacitors going bad in the system, which, you know, and I know it works, and that's the main part, but I've got a Japanese PC engine, which was the Japanese version of the TurboGrafx 16. I've got one of those packs with one of the original controllers that's, you know, got the Pioneer labeling on it that, you know, that actually came with the pack. So I guess I can play my humongous import collection for the PC engine on it as well eventually, yep. Even though I probably won't, but no, I could. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that one set me back to almost $1,000.
Good Lord. All right.
Yeah, even broken ones go for like $200 or $300.
Wow.
How hard are they to fix then? If it's broken but it's still $200 to $300, what's the difficulty in fixing it up?
Well, if it's electronical with the capacitors going bad, then if you know how to, you know, like, which I can do it, and I've seen videos where other people have done it, and you can get these little capacitor kits or draw, you know, find the schematics and order all the individual one and replace every single capacitor inside the console and then also inside the pack if you've got one of those. And if that's the only thing that's wrong with it, then that would easily fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I've got a good working one, and I know the audio works. It cuts in and out and everything, but I think it may just be a dirty connection on the connector. But, you know, it works, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just set it to the side, and if it ever stops working, I know that it's the capacitors.
Yeah. Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling in and letting us know what your new project is.
Yep.
And I hope you enjoy it, and stay safe, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yep. Everybody out there listening, y'all sing happy birthday several times whenever you're washing your hands.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good afternoon.
Take care.
Everybody be safe out there.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Al.
Bye.
Nate, I might drop you, but I don't think I did. Are you still there? Okay, good. You could have said no, but, you know.
I'm gone.
Yes.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah?
Do you have a second?
I mean, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to know if you're going to a break or not.
I was about to. If you wanted to say something, I was going to let you say it.
Yeah, just real quick. I totally forgot one game that I started. Now, I started this somewhat unintentional. I saw it on sale, and I was like, oh, I own it on Steam. So then I started playing it. But it also was kind of before all of this. But this War of Mine, I've always wanted to play it.
What's it called again?
This War of Mine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a depressing game.
And I'm like, that is a depressing game. Bad time to start playing this game.
It is. But it's a good, I'm not, because I'm calling it depressing doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, it's a good game, but it is very, very. Yeah.
It's a good drama.
Oh, boy.
It can just be a. It can be a morally challenging game.
Yeah, there's some tough decisions to make in that game. And then there's an expansion for it that deals with the children.
Yep.
It's even worse.
Yeah. But so, also what I was going to say was also it's on Android right now for $1.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of free games out there. We'll go over some of them coming up here in just a bit. Wanted to make a show note. I know I told Chris, I was like, hey, talk to you next week. No show next week. We are not having a show next weekend. So just a heads up, there will be no show next weekend. I mean, unless something happens and Microsoft and Sony decide to reveal the date and prices for their systems, which I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, something big happens, sure, we'll be here, but otherwise, no show for next week. Nate, I'm going to put you on hold, and then we're going to come back after the break here.
Sounds good.
All right, hang on. Yep, we've got more in-game chat on the way, and speaking of new consoles, excuse me, we got more information about the Xbox Series X. We got more information, boy, did we get a lot of information about the PlayStation 5. Just a whole lot of tech speak, but I'm going to talk about that, because there were a lot of people who were disappointed by what Sony showed off. Yeah, which is because, I guess, I don't know if it was marketed wrong, or what the situation was, but I want to talk about both of those, and there's some more to talk about too, but let's stick with the new consoles first, and we'll come to those when we come back. We've got music here from, well, a brand new game that came out this week. I mean, we had two big titles that released this week, both Animal Crossing New Horizons and this one, Doom Eternal. This is the track called Seeker We'll be back with Morning Game Chat in just a moment. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. This is music from a game called Fell Seal Arbiter's Mark. The main titles for that game. I think somebody was playing it. I don't know who. I don't know how I found it. But yeah, that's what that's from. Welcome back to the show. That was a nice little sting. That was a good little...
nice little ender.
Yeah, that was a good way. I had no idea that was coming. I did not time that or practice it, and that's usually when they're the best. Yep. A little bit of coincidental genius. Oh, so this week we got news on the Xbox Series X and news on the PlayStation 5. Did you watch any of this stuff, Nate?
Some of it. I had some meetings going on during.
Right, I was at work, and so I was kind of watching it on and off while I was here working. Sure, wink, wink. While I was working, I was here watching some of it, especially the not necessarily the Series X stuff. That was just available for me to just read up on, and look at it. But the PlayStation 5 stuff, I did watch that. With Mark Cerny, and that was an info deep dive type thing, and they've done this before. They did it before with the PlayStation 4 whenever they revealed that. Mark Cerny came out, and he gave this very, very in-depth talk about what is inside and what has changed and what's new about the PlayStation console. They did it for 4, and they did it again for 5. Also, this was supposed to be done at GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference that got canceled. Well, I say canceled. It got postponed. They've actually already announced the makeup date for that, which I'll get into later. But the Game Developers Conference, which is where stuff like this always happens. And it's full of a crowd who are interested in all of that stuff. So maybe not a lot of people who heard, ooh, PlayStation 5 reveal, and then tuned in and thought, well, this is crap. Which it wasn't. I get that it didn't meet your expectations of what you expected it to be, but that's on you. It was exactly what it was supposed to be. If Mark Cerny is going to give a talk, you're not getting E3-style reveal stuff. If Mark Cerny's speaking, that's not what you're going to be getting, ever. Dude is low-key.
Was it you?
It was me that said it was a ASMR. Yeah. He was doing an ASMR of the PS5 internals.
True.
But anytime Mark's going to speak, you're not going to get that, man. The guy lives in data and numbers and technical information, not in look how many or look at these awesome graphics that we're showing you. Does not concern him one bit. I mean, he made the game Knack, for God's sakes.
Which I love, by the way.
Yeah, it was a launch title for the PlayStation 4.
Yep.
And, yeah, he made the game Knack. So, he's a technical guy, exactly what it is. So it was interesting to listen to him talk about, him making like a footnote last year saying, okay, here's the kind of solid state drive we need. And then realizing that, oh, wait, it's been a year. That these aren't going to cut it anymore. This is the kind of solid state drive we need, you know, because it got faster. And that they wanted a fast SSD to send information from the hard drive or for it to read off of the hard drive. And so he was talking about all that. He was talking about how the audio works. It was interesting to know about how the audio worked for the PS4 and then how the audio is going to work for the PS5. How the audio for PS4 wasn't really, it was kind of an afterthought. It was kind of a, do we have any room left? Okay, put that over to audio. Okay. And yet now they're like, oh no, let's designate a good portion to audio as well. So it was interesting to read all of that or to hear about all that stuff. When I could catch some of it, I didn't go back and watch the whole thing either to catch up on the stuff that I missed. Now I'm focusing on that one a little bit more because that was given, that was given as a presentation. The Xbox Series X thing was, I don't think that was done as a presentation. It was just news sites all of a sudden were able to release their stories about what the thing could do. And on, as far as I can tell, I don't know if you've done any research on this, Nate, or RJ. I don't know if you've looked into it as well, but I kind of doubt it. And I only doubt that because you don't really care. You care about the games that are on the system.
Yeah,
not...
I mean, I've never been the type to be amazed by the stats of the thing.
Right.
Because I've seen plenty of machines that had all the bells and whistles on paper for the internals of it.
Mm-hmm.
But your library was lacking. So what's the point of having this big, big, beautiful system, but you'd have a lacking library? The reason I got the console was to play games on it. If your games are lacking... your console, no matter how good it is, it's not going to be picked up.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the problem that Microsoft faces right now as far as exclusive. The thing that Microsoft has going for them, not just now, but what they're going to have going for them later on is that Ultimate Game Pass, which is just a massive amount of titles that people are going to be able to play out of the gate if they have the Game Pass. Now, you had said you think there's an exclusive with some game that you're interested in?
When Nate put the price on the for the Xbox One, that price drop.
Oh yeah,
the 200.
Oh, the Xbox One X.
Yeah,
which is the big 4K version of the Xbox. Yeah,
yeah.
They dropped it to $200.
Yeah. Then I said that there was weren't any games that could come to mind that I would like to play on it. I mean, it didn't come to mind. But then I saw Phantasy Star Online 2 was going to be on the Xbox first, then PC. I don't know if it's ever come to PS4, but it's going to be on Xbox, I know, at least. But I've never been the type to buy a system for just one game.
Right,
so I'm going to have to look around and see what else is available for Xbox before I pull the trigger on that.
Yeah. Anyway, what it seems to me that I can see, and I could be wrong, and Nate, you can tell me if you've looked at it as well, but on paper, spec-wise, that we always look at this, the Series X seems to come out on top again.
I would say so, absolutely.
It looks like
I would say if I had it in you, throwing out a ballpark number, I would say it seems probably somewhere between 10-20% in certain categories.
Right, you know, it depends on the categories,
But I was going to say, it's so, you know, you can have a lot more in one category, but that doesn't mean you're going to have a substantial boost.
It doesn't. Again, though, just on paper and specs sort of thing.
Absolutely.
That the Xbox beats out the PlayStation 5. However, none of that matters to anybody, honestly. It matters right now because it's all we've got. And so people can say, well, look, this is better than this because it's the number's bigger and this is not the same and this is better and it does stuff things better. That's fine. Doesn't mean jack if there's nothing to play on the thing. It also doesn't mean jack if your system is massively expensive. So this situation that we're in gets us no further. It's a nice little footnote as we move our way down the line to see what the release date and prices are going to be on these things, but it does nothing. It does nothing for the general public to tell them, here's what you're going to get. And it's also the one stat that I've never relied on when anybody ever asked me which one is better. Because I get that. Trust me, I get it all the time. Get it all the time. Which one is the better system?
Better console?
This or this?
It all depends on what you like to play.
And I'll tell you, I turn to them. The first thing I say is, do you have a PC? And it's not because I'm PC Master Race. That is not me. But there are options and there are ways to go about it on PC that are better than what you'll get on the console. I was playing Destiny with some randos the other day.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, trying to load in this activity was taking forever. And he's like, well, it's still better than the console. And I realized that, yeah, you're exactly right. Loading on the consoles in Destiny is just atrocious. It's horrible. Loading just into the menu system, like when you go to change your gear in the middle of something, is just
takes a second.
It's like first world problem type stuff, but still, it's horrible. So, I mean, there are benefits to it. But when they tell you, no, I don't have a PC, I just do my gaming on console, then I don't fall back, and I don't go to tell them. I was like, well, then your Xbox is going to be the better system. Oh, well, that's good. That's the one I'm going to get. And they're going to spend the money, and they're going to have a thing to play. Because it turns out that they liked something on that's only available on PS4, whatever that might be, but or on Sony's side of things. So that's the situation. Is I always tell them it depends on what you want to play.
Yeah.
You need to go out and look and find out the games that are only available on certain systems and find out which one has more and which one you're going to be satisfied with because that's the one you go with. Never, ever buy it based on these specs. I'm glad we have them. I love the information. It's good to know. I enjoyed that talk that Mark Cerny gave. Yes, I was in and out of it because I was working, so I didn't sit through the whole thing just glued to every word. But when I could tune in and catch some of the stuff that he was saying, I was like, oh, that's fascinating to me how it wasn't working for this, so we've tweaked it to make it work for this, or it's going to do this, or it's this, or it's this. Just talking about all the different things that they can do, or that they're changing, moving from PS4 to PS5. That's fascinating to me. I'm going to end up owning both consoles. It's not going to matter to me which one is better on paper. It's not. I'll end up owning both. That's just the way it's going to go. It always has. And so, but to anybody else who's like, well, I can only pick one. I can only get the one thing. Well, then you need to figure out which one it is for you. Which one has the games that you want to play and go in that direction.
Yeah, look at the library and do your research.
Because that's where you're going to be satisfied. If I tell you right now that it's the PS5 that's better, but man, you look over there and you want to play that Forza and that Halo and everything, and you suddenly realize I can't do it on this system, then, you've wasted your money. And then, at the same time, I can barely tell them that because I don't even know what the price is. I have no idea what these things are going to cost. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to come with them. More than if anything is going to come with, I have no idea. You know, is there a pack-in game? Is there? Normally they don't, but will they do it? I don't know. I don't even know if these things are going to come out this year. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. They might. They're supposed to, but not after what's happened now, because if the suppliers of all these things that they're putting inside these systems haven't finished or have had to stop or halt production because of everything going on, this is going to delay that. Not only that, even if it hasn't, even if they've got the consoles ready now for shipping on the holiday season, whenever it's going to be, and this situation that we're in plays out for... I don't even want to speculate how long it could go on, but it's not going to matter what price you put on these things. Nobody's going to be spending the money because that's not going to be the priority for when things ramp back and life becomes what it once was for us again. They're not going to put that money down for a video game, you know, that's the, what's the whole meme? I want the new console. You got the console at home, and you go home, and it's your old stuff, you know? And that's what it's going to be. That's all it's going to be. So right now, I think it's going to be kind of in flux as far as us getting any kind of release date information. Mm-hmm. I have no idea about the production stuff for either of these consoles. I don't know anything as far as launch titles, how many games are going to be launched for it. I don't know anything like that. I know that there are launch titles for these things, or at least there are exclusive titles for these new systems. Don't necessarily know that they're going to be launch titles, but I know that they are out there, and they're at least planned. So we shall see. We really right now it's a bit of speculation that I'd rather not do without more information in a lot of other areas. Mm-hmm. 'Cause depending on how this goes, it could be a while. It could be until next year before we see these consoles. You know, I know that Microsoft and Sony were ready to do this, but they don't. Both of them. Microsoft had a good plan to do their whole little reveal thing and show off stuff at E3, and that got canceled and scrubbed. And they can still do that digitally. They can still do it like they normally do it. But if there are enough restrictions in place, filming that, putting all that together is going to be just as hard to do. It's all got to be rewritten now, because I'm sure they had guests planned. They had people showing up. I'm sure they were going to do another Forza thing where they drop a car down from the ceiling and show off a new thing. It's always, man. Microsoft E3 presentation is half gaming thing, half new car show. Like, here's a car you'll never be able to afford, but you can play it in our game. Next year, here's another car that is not in any way available to you or most people on the planet. In fact,
there's three in the world.
It's only, yeah, exactly. In fact, it's just a concept car. But here it is. We love doing this. And then here's a celebrity to talk about it or play the stupid game. So they probably had a lot of plans for what they were going to do for E3. They probably have to go back to the drawing board on how they can do this in a more, intimate setting, I guess. In a more one-on-one setting. They can do it, but they're based out of Seattle. And Seattle's not doing too good as far as bringing people together right now. So I don't know how they're going to manage that. And I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to work. So it's just sort of a wait and see kind of thing. And it will be a long wait and see kind of thing to what they're going to do. Nate, were you about to say something?
No, I mean, I completely agree.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and the other thing is too, a lot of people worry about optics and stuff like that. So, I'm sure they all are working around the clock to figure out what they want to do with that.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what that's going to be. I really am. I'm curious as to how this is going to. I talked about it last episode, how I'm kind of fascinated in the realm of what ifs. And we're kind of living out that what if right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's that whole letter that Nixon wrote in case the guys got stuck on the moon. There's the whole plan in place for when the queen passes away. And there's been multiple plans in place for when the queen passes away. And I've always just been fascinated by the what if scenario. So what is in place if... Was it Reagan? I can't remember. There was some president, I think, who had some thing, and maybe I'm reading this in the back of an Inquirer magazine. he had something in place in the event that we ever made contact with extraterrestrials. I didn't poke the bear. he made a grumble over there. I don't know. I don't know if it was him. And I'm not saying it was dumb of him to have one in place. It's just that these are the kind of scenarios that I think about that go through my head. And right now we're kind of living in one. Like, what is the plan if, and Sony is based out of, obviously, Japan. And things aren't great over there right now either. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know. It's a long way away to think about, because you know these things are going to get released in the fall. But at some point, you've got to ramp up you've got to come to a price decision on what it's going to cost. And you kind of already know that by how much each system costs. And then you've got to reveal all this. And this might not be the year to do that. It may get pushed back. And don't be disappointed by that, because if for some reason it does get pushed back, the chance is you probably weren't going to be able to afford it anyway. Not because it was going to be too expensive, but because getting your life back on track after, you know, what's to come, possibly to come, then, yeah. So there's a lot of factors involved that are not even related to gaming whatsoever. But, yeah. So, we got another 5 minutes, I guess. I was trying to find, somebody had a chart where it was like, here's the specs of the PS5, here's the... Oh, wait, you just did it. You posted it in the chat room. I found it. Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive.
I know, you did great, man. See, look, Series X has the 3.8, PlayStation 5 has 3.5. Okay, whoopee-doo, a 0.3 difference. On paper, again, Xbox wins. GPU... the bigger numbers, right? 12 teraflops to 10.28. Memory is the same. Storage is weird. Like,
I was seeing that in the chat room.
Isn't it weird? Like, I saw that and I was just like, why are you, what are you, Sony, what are you doing? I get it. It's not that much of a difference. Well, I guess it is. I don't know. Microsoft's like, here, you can have a terabyte of hard drive space. And Sony's like, you know, 825 is bigger than one. So they gave us 825 gigs.
As we were talking in chat, though, unless that's just, you know, the available.
Right. Like, you do get a 1 terabyte, except after it eats up all the, you know, after the operating system eats into it and everything else, you end up with 825, realistically, is what you get. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe. But on paper...
And I slightly wonder, now this may have been said, I just completely missed it, but are they also taking some of that for, I think Xbox is going to talk about it too, but putting it as in RAM storage?
Maybe.
So having it on access to like 50, 75 gigs of the games.
Right, like Sony wasn't, like, yeah, Sony was not specific on what they meant. This was just a chart that was released as far as what was in the system, and they never kind of did a deep dive into, like, oh, the reason we picked 825, which itself is just a rando number, you know?
It's jarring when you hear it.
Like, actually, when you go out and buy hard drives, they don't come in 825. They don't do that. Even
500 gigs, 750 gigs, you know, 1 terabyte.
Even the smaller, like, flash drives come in, like, here's 32 gigs, 64 gigs, 825. That's just not a normal number that you see for a hard drive space. So
my other thought is that they were just trying to cut it down as much as possible, money wise.
Oh, money-wise? Yeah, possibly, man. I don't know. I do not know.
You know, the thing is about hard drive space is something I always thought about, because I'm going through it now with my PS4. You know, how many games do I really want to install because hard drive space is running out? And how many times am I going to have to pull out the external to hook it up to it so I can have a safe place to put the memory in the games when I install it? I mean, one of the things I liked about the PS4 was, like, being able to put a much bigger hard drive in there, but eventually the space will run out. But am I going to run into the same issue sooner on this PS5 or Xbox Series X or whatever? Because, like, how big was Red Dead Redemption 2?
Red Dead Redemption was, I think, almost 100 gigs.
100 gigs?
I think. 90, maybe. 92.
Yeah. Is that going to be the standard now with these new consoles? Because they used to be, like, 50 or 60 gigs, right? Then
Look, your games that are going to be the ones that they're going to market for, they're not getting any smaller.
No.
Hard
drives the same size, but the game's getting bigger. So.
Right. Your disk space is getting smaller, too, which is why basically it's just the disk you buy comes with something that that it reads and says, okay, you own this game, I'll go download it from the internet now. You know, rather than reading it from the disk itself, has to install. So,
yeah, Lethal says he got an 8 terabit external on his Xbox. Yeah.
You've got something large on yours as well.
Yeah,
right?
I got an eight terabit on my PS4 as well, and there's some games I have to bring it out and hook it up to so I can get it going. Probably gonna have to do that with MLB The Show. It's a sports game, so it's gonna be a lot of gigs using that.
Anyway, that's where we sit. On the
real quick,
go ahead.
Okay, you know, someone brought up a good point is that I was reading comments on another forum about that hard drive space is the fact that, you know, to make things as cheap as possible, you go with a standard. So the 1 terabyte would be the standard. So, you know, it seems like that would have to be a terabyte SSD. That's what's available, because you know how much money you have to pay to have a customized,
right? Like 820, Sony goes to their guys. So I mean, we're talking Sony here, and they're the ones who made proprietary memory cards for their stupid Vita.
Oh yeah,
but the memory cards that's still completely different. That's still different though. That's a small order.
I get it, but who's to say they didn't go to the manufacturer and say, we need an 825 thing? Why do you need 820? Don't ask us questions. We need an 825. How much is it going to cost? Money's no object. I look, I'm sitting with you. I'm sitting with you in that, yes, you're probably right. It is a 1 terabyte, and that's what's being used. Or that's the available space once you get everything up and running. I think we're on the same wavelength there. However, I cannot say that it is not possible that that could be the case. It's 825 right out of the gate. Yep. But I don't know. So anyway, we're up here at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I kind of want to talk about GameStop a little bit.
Poorly.
And I hate to, because I know people that work there, and they're good people.
Don't blame them. Just talk about
the company. I ain't blaming them, but I do want to talk about it a little bit. So we shall see. We've got a track here. It's the main theme from a game called Wolcen, W-O-L-C-E-N, Wolcen, Lords of Mayhem. I don't know what this is. It was on a list of games, and so I picked it. So anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is just some gamer music right there, ain't it?
Yeah, I was about to say, what PBS show is this from?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
New Horizons. Mm. Called the Welcome Horizons. That is the track for that.
I thought we were going to go with Talking Bourbon this hour.
Right? I love a good bourbon.
Bourbon and cigar hour.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you sipping on this week, Scott?
Meanwhile, I'll tell you how this smoking jacket feels. It's great. Comfy. Next to the fire. Which we don't need a fire, I can tell you that. Temperatures have been
all
up. Not
only can you wash your hands with the whiskey, you can drink it.
Yep. Cleans everything. Anyway, welcome back.
My throat's never been cleaner.
Welcome back to the show. Oh, hey, you know, we left out the whole PlayStation 5 saying that the overwhelming majority of the 4,000-plus PS4 titles will be playable on PS5, so it will come with backwards compatibility. Now, again, if it's just PS4 titles being played on PS5, the Xbox One X, or the Xbox Series X, is going to be multi-generational backwards compatibility. You can play the Xbox 360, Xbox One, all those on it as well. So it'd be nice if they could do that with the PS5. I don't think they're going to be able to, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. But
I mean, backwards compatibility hasn't been a thing for me because I still got the old system. So have at it.
And everything that's going on around here, GameStop canceled their midnight release events for Animal Crossing and Doom, of which you just heard music from Animal Crossing. That was not Doom music, by the way.
It'd be funny if it was.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
part of Doom has this music in it? I wonder.
Which is fine. I totally got that they were going to cancel the midnight releases for those. And I think some stores actually started selling them. I think Doom was being sold a day early to avoid the overcrowding of both games being released on the same day. So you had the option to come in and pick it up. There's a lot of people on Steam. There was a lot of people playing. Yeah. I'm opening up my GameStop links here. So. This comes from an article from Polygon. And talks about a Reddit thread, which you can always trust Reddit, right? From GameStop employees. Multiple employees saying that the company is insistent on staying open, even in areas where non-essential stores are being mandated to shut. This morning, Polygon called stores in six San Francisco Bay Area counties where non-essential stores are ordered to shut. The stores were in business as usual. One store manager located on the East Coast wrote to Polygon, "We just got off a conference call about an hour ago saying that we will be staying open our normal business hours no matter what the states are mandating. We asked what happens if an employee does get the virus and came to work with it, and we were told that they would have the whole staff of that store on quarantine. The store would be closed to clean it, but then they would have other staff come in to ensure the store stays open." Another manager said that the company leaders are happy that video game sales and, or video games and console sales are enjoying a sales bump as people look to relieve boredom at home. Another manager said, "I had a region call and a district call today. Both showed very little care for the employees. The focus is on sales." One manager said that they were told by a regional leader to press on with the company's intense focus on trading tech items, cell phones, tablets. "We're in the middle of this health crisis, and we get a task from a regional director telling us to throw a tech trade event." Another manager said that the company has told staff not to turn away trades for any reason and to take advantage of increased traffic. "They are demanding standard trades and tech trades, so we are handling a lot of unknown goods. They said we can use gloves, but the company cannot provide them, so it's us. It's up to us to find them." Then they talk about the closing, not the closing, but the midnight releases. Mm-hmm. "Workers have been told to clean their hands every 30 minutes and to regularly clean in-store surfaces, but the company's promise to deliver hand sanitizer and other cleaning materials has not materialized. Five employees told Polygon that they have not received cleaning supplies. The company memo said its cleaning supplies order will not be available for several weeks. Stores have been so busy lately that they will not give us extra payroll to have more than one person working. I have no time to clean, said one manager. Another manager, we're currently making the most of what we can with two bottles of hand sanitizer, one that was borrowed from a business next door. Another store worker said, it is impossible for us to clean every surface, so every GameStop open right now is a high-risk area. Polygon asked GameStop about its decision. The company released a statement. GameStop is working diligently during this unprecedented time to provide our customers and associates with the safest environment possible. Like many businesses, we are taking action to institute multiple social distancing practices in our stores, such as only allowing 10 customers in our stores at any given time. That one is going on. I know in the one in the area where I live, that is being in place.
Mm-hmm.
10 at a time. That includes employees. Canceling all gaming events and midnight launch activities until further notice. Disabling temporarily all interactive gaming stations in our stores. Introducing in-store line management practices. Additionally, we have implemented heightened cleaning practices on all high touchpoint surfaces within our stores. And like other retailers, we are taking aggressive actions in an admittedly difficult environment to quickly obtain the necessary cleaning supplies needed. We're all in this together. Like many businesses, we are continuing to monitor this closely while satisfying our gamers' demand for the product they want in a manner that protects both our customers and associates. So there was that. They're also, and by the way, GameStop is not having a good time financially this year. It was a bad year for them earlier this year before all this broke out. And now with this, it's not going to look good for them either. I know some people who work there, and they're doing what they can. They don't sound... I haven't talked to them privately about it or anything, so they don't sound like they're troubled by this. But, you know, I haven't actually talked to any of them at all about this. But I know that they're there, I know they're working, and I know they're you know, doing what the stores mandated them to do. I see a lot of people staying at home, and I see them buying their games digitally. So many games are available digitally now.
Yeah.
You can do that. And I get it that a lot of kids got you know, there's no school for them for like the next 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, suddenly 3 weeks you're not going to school. Yeah.
So I can see them, like mom or dad or whoever, taking them to the store and saying, okay, go pick out a used title.
Pick out something that'll hold you for the next 3 weeks or something like that.
Or a new title or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So I get that that's happening. I'm not saying they should shut down. I really am not. I would say, though, if a state mandates that you close.
Argue.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Which is something that didn't happen. Here's another article about GameStop that came out a few weeks later, or actually just 1 week later. Actually, not even a week. This is from Kotaku. The struggling video game retail chain GameStop told all of its stores this afternoon to stay open, even in the event of state or city lockdowns, to protect against the pandemic, emphasizing that it is essential retail alongside groceries and pharmacies and should therefore be exempt from enforced closures. A memo to the staff obtained by Kotaku says, due to the products we carry that enable and enhance our customers' experience in working from home, we believe GameStop is classified as essential retail and therefore is able to remain open during this time. We have received reports of local authorities visiting stores in an attempt to enforce closure despite our classification. Store managers are approved to provide the document linked below to law enforcement as needed. The document in question encourages police officers to call GameStop's corporate headquarters if they have a problem with this policy. The retailer later that afternoon said that it would be reducing hours, postponing all events, and suspending used game trade-ins until March 29th. That's interesting. Then... this was yesterday. GameStop shut down all of its stores in California. The news comes one day after the retailer told all of its employees to ignore store lockdown measures. The company said in a note to stores, "We are closing our stores in California. The closure will remain in effect until further notice as we obtain more information from the California governor's office."
You don't open it up until I tell you to.
Yeah, California is one of the few states in the country who have enacted a full lockdown policy and told non-essential businesses to close. Mm-hmm. Two California GameStop employees told Kotaku they've been told to use personal time or file for unemployment, as they will not be paid while stores are shut down. A representative for GameStop Corporate did not return requests for comment. So, there, the ongoing GameStop drama continues. It's been a while since I've been into a GameStop. Last time I think I was there was to get the Steelbook edition of Red Dead 2, because it was the only place they had it. And that's what I wanted. So that was the last time I think I was there.
It's past Tuesday for me.
You got that Steelbook for...
Steelbook for MLB.
Well, there's that. But you got that other one I like with Vanquish and Bayonetta.
Yeah, yeah.
That's only available at GameStop?
I believe it was.
I think so.
I think it was. Yeah. Or maybe it may have been Amazon. I'm not sure. Let me double check. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the reason you go into GameStop is for a collectible or something like that, an exclusive collectible probably, at this point.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, no need.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, no need. I don't even know if I'll do it for new consoles this year. Well, if there's new console this year.
Yeah.
Well, normally, you know, I like to go to do the midnight things, you know, the midnight releases or whatever it is. I like to kind of do those, and because you only get them every so often, but I think that's all, and I think it was pretty much that way back when the PS4 and the Xbox One released. I think that's all kind of going away.
Yeah.
It's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a thing.
As most folks do the digital route, right?
Well, they do the digital route, or they get it shipped to themselves, or they get a pickup in store, or something like that. It's one of those things where they don't have to be there at midnight to get their product.
Mm-hmm.
They can pick it up the next day, and they have no problem with it.
Yeah.
I think part of that is because the people able to buy these things, the age is kind of shifting with that, and the responsibilities mm-hmm. have become like, nah, man, I'll pick it up tomorrow on the way home from work.
Yeah.
Or I'll pick it up on the way into work or something like that, whatever mm-hmm. the case. I got a life to do, and I'll go in and do that afterwards.
Yeah, I'll pick it up at lunch, hold it until I get back home. You know,
just a thought. I really don't know. I don't have nothing to back that up. But... But yeah, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. If you're working through this and you're dealing with the public like you are, then just take the precautions you need to take. If you are the public and you're dealing with what you got to deal with, you know, take the precautions that you have to take. You know, we have a plan here. What we're doing is trying to, you know, keep people in mind that local small business needs the support. So, I mean, if you're going to go out and do business, do it with a local small business here to keep them afloat, because it's going to keep them going. It'll keep their employees going. And they're going to be there, because some of these places that may close down because of not being able to stay open because the government has told them to close, they may not be able to open back up. You're going to lose some good places if that were to happen. I don't think we have I know we've got some mom and pop game stores, you know, Retro Game Planet, that sort of thing. Yeah. But they don't sell new titles, right? Or no?
I haven't seen any new titles.
I don't think they sell new titles. I don't think we have a mom and pop type, you know, game store that sells new stuff. And I could be, if I'm wrong on this, I'd actually like to know who you are, because you should advertise. But I don't think we have anything like that. So it's basically your big boxes for your games, or online, you know, buy them online, which that's the other thing. GameStop has an online presence, you know, mail still works. You can still buy stuff online and get it shipped to you. You can still, you know, and that goes for all of those, you know, the big boxes when you're doing your video game purchasing. Yeah. they're, you know, they've Amazon and the Best Buy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then again, there's just downloading it, you know. There's just buying it off the store on the console that you're on, mm-hmm. Is the other option to keep you, not only just to keep you safe, but to keep you from infecting others, to keep others safe as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my TED Talk. So what else do we have? Oh, yeah, the game developer GDC held their award ceremony with no one. So we got some winners there. Did you read into that whole Twitch ban? Mm. For who is it? Casey Tron?
Oh, yeah. Casey Tron is a Twitch streamer. You said some.
I don't know anything about the person, but I know it seemed like it was a big deal.
Well, she said something insensitive about the people who are afflicted with the coronavirus, and she got a ban from it.
Twitch has banned popular streamer Casey Cavaness for comments made about the deaths. Good Lord, what the hell are you doing? Taking part in a stream from another Twitch celebrity, I don't know who that is. When she was asked whether she would kiss someone with the virus, she responded that she would, and we would leave quarantine, and we'd try to spread as much as possible because, oh my God. Woof. That's horrible. Wow. Are you reading it, Nate?
Yeah.
No, but
Wow. Yep. Says the world would be a better place without old and poor people.
Yeah.
How does that come? How do you even have that come across as a?
Shock value, notoriety. Man. I don't know.
It's not even shock value though. It's just stupid.
That gets right in Sue.
Yeah, that's
maybe that's the maybe that's value. The value. Maybe that's what it is. The yeah. stupid value.
Yeah.
Because what is it? You do stupid things, win stupid prizes, yeah. right?
Yeah. Sorry, Kevinus, who has more than 500,000 followers, have been indefinitely suspended from Twitch for, quote, engaging in hateful conduct and threats of violence against a person or group of people.
Well, whatever. She'll be back on Twitch in no time, I'm sure.
Yeah, Twitch is being Twitch, yeah. If Twitch is Twitch, they're gonna she's gonna be back in no time. I mean,
if they make money off that person, yeah, they ain't gonna be gone long.
The bigger your following is, the more lenient they are on their rules. That's what I've come to discover from them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Game Awards, do we have time to do those? Let's see. Do I have a list here? Yeah, I have a list of the winners. I don't have a list of nominees, which is good. We can hit some of these. Best audio was Control. I might start playing that. I say that every time I run around, I run by it. But best debut of a developer were the developers of Disco Elysium. Best design is Baba Is You. Best mobile game, What the Golf. Innovation Award, Baba Is You. Best narrative, Disco Elysium. Best technology, Control, and best visual art. Best VR AR game was Vader Immortal. Audience award was Sky Children of the Light from that game company. Game of the year, Untitled Goose Game. I don't know how. I haven't played it.
Because it's unique?
I guess.
I mean, remember that run Goat Simulator got?
Man. I mean, Goat Simulator was really popular. I don't know what kind of awards it made, but I know it was really popular.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about video gaming now. Just be unique and you'll get noticed.
Yeah, I guess so. Stand out, and that's the one that'll, you know,
mm-hmm.
gets the look. But anyway. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about, we'll talk about Ghost Recon Breakpoint. We'll talk about GDC setting another date for their game developers conference. We want to talk about Doom Eternal shipping without any DRM.
Definitely.
Definitely want to talk about that. So more of that coming up on In-Game Chat here in just a bit. Music to leave you here with something from a game called Stone Shard. Stone Shard. The name of the track is called The Shards. So we'll be back. Yeah, right? Appropriate. Hang on, Nate. We'll get back to you in a bit. And we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Taur, T-A-U-R.
Okay.
It's just the main menu music there from that game. Final segment here. Just some quick hits. Beginning March 24th, Ghost Recon Breakpoint will get a new mission that includes Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell. Seems Ubisoft likes to use Sam Fisher, just not in his own game. This is an ongoing thing for me.
It's a travesty. Travesty.
A travesty or a tragedy?
Tragesty?
We'll go with a tragedy. It's both tragic and a travesty. Well,
it's kind of like a clank.
A clink. Yes. It's a clink.
A clink.
Click the link. Clink. Just clink us. yeah, no. It is a tragedy. As you say, because we don't have any. I need my Splinter Cell. Here's the weird thing. What if this was the year that Ubisoft was going to announce a new Splinter Cell game at their conference, and then the conference got canceled? What if this, because we were supposed to get Warner Brothers doing a conference to tell us about a new Batman game, possibly two, at least the one that Montreal is working on, WB Montreal, but then Rocksteady was going to reveal their new game that they're working on, who are the Batman boys, man. They're the guys that did the Batman series. So, but then that got canceled. So what if this was my year? Man.
Yep. Hold off.
Man. Stupid.
What if it was a Splinter Cell / Batman crossover?
Right, yeah, I know. Bruce Wayne, Sam Fisher. Yeah, I know. I know. Together.
Coming at you at the night.
Yeah. Cha-ching. GDC announced the replacement for the Game Developers Conference. It was originally scheduled to take place, this week, actually. It was originally set to take place this week, and that got canceled. Mm-hmm. They've rescheduled for August 5th and 6th. It seems a little premature. Not necessarily to announce it for August 4th through the 6th, or August 5th through the 6th, whatever the case. It just seems a little bit early to throw that out there. You just had people cancel. And maybe even blow, I don't know if they got their refunds from hotels or travel or anything like that. Now you're asking them, hey, book all that stuff again for August, which... It's
hopefully
early August. I know, right? Like, I'm not saying that life's going to be like this come August, but I don't know about large amounts of gatherings like this happening in August. I don't know if we'll be clear for things like a convention or something like that. I don't know if that'll be the case come August. So I'm not sure. I'm not trying to say that we're going to be in the situation where places are going to be closed and this is how it's just going to be from now until August. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't really know what the case is going to be. But I think it's a little early to go out there and say, okay, it's going to be August. Let's put it in August. Why wouldn't you just, you know, what's the term? I guess be conservative about your bet, you know? And just throw it out there and like here October, you know.
Well, I would just go postpone until further notice.
Yeah, I mean, there's the other thing. Like, if you've got to pick a date, pick one later than August. Pick one as late as you possibly can, maybe. Yeah, or if you don't have to pick a date, don't do it. Just be like, "Oops, we missed this year. We'll pick it up next year." If you can do that.
Scott, check chat real quick. That's the closest I could find.
Check chat. What am I doing? Okay.
Yeah, he's posting there.
The link.
What am I looking at? Is there... Oh, thanks. Yeah, I know.
That's the closest I could find here.
I think I remember seeing that, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a
him doing the split, the wall split jump thing, and then of course, yeah, there's Batman. So
that's circa 2009.
Yeah, I saw that from Penny Arcade. Yeah, which by the way, no news on PAX in Seattle at the moment. But then again, there hasn't been news on that. They haven't said either way on anything like that. Nobody's asked them the question, or if they have, they haven't responded to it. So it's just, yeah, don't know. I think a lot of, I think it'll, for a lot of these things, especially some of these game convention type stuff, it's like, let's just sit the year out.
Yeah.
You know, let's regroup next year and do it again, mm-hmm. you know, rather than try and do this, because usually I would really like to think that we would have a date by now for PAX in Seattle, but we don't. Mm-hmm. At least, you know what? I haven't checked. They haven't put anything up there, but I haven't checked recently. Let me check real quick. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be up there because they have not mentioned word one. Yeah, they haven't. They do not have a date for 2020 yet. Let me jump over to the forums real quick, and see schedule announcements and recent. see, that was on March 16th.
Was the last time they said something?
No. This is just one of the last posts in a forum about it. And it was nobody saying it. It's just people speculating. Again, just another speculation as to what may happen here. So, I mean, Seattle's not... right now, Seattle's bad. If they're convention was being held in the next month, it would not be going on. If it was held in June or even July, it would have already been canceled by now. Mm-hmm. This is something that is usually held over the Labor Day weekend, last weekend of August, something like that. Labor Day weekend's a little bit different this year. Mm-hmm. And it's happened this way with PAX before. Normally, they cross over from the end of August to the 1st of September, and they get that Labor Day weekend. But Labor Day weekend, September starts on a Tuesday this year. So they would be well into September. I don't want to say well into September, but they'd already be in September if they did it over the Labor Day weekend. They usually don't do that. Mm-hmm. They usually do it the last weekend of August, which is normally when you get Labor Day out of it. It's not this time. Mm-hmm. So, so it's a little bit of an iffy situation. And I don't know how it's going to play out. Regardless, it's probably not going to be in any sort of state where I'll feel comfortable going there that early. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they're going to do. They haven't said anything yet. I kind of wish they would, but I mean, again, we've talked about this before where a lot of these places probably have a date marked on the calendar where it's like, we have to decide by then. Mm-hmm. This is our cutoff. This is our point of no return. If we're going to do it, then we need to announce it on this date. If we're not going to do it, then we need to announce it on this date. And this is where we got to sit. So we've got to come up with something. Mm-hmm. That's for a lot of things because we still don't know about the Olympics. Apparently, a lot of people who are going to be at the Olympics are pushing for them to postpone. Whereas a lot of people who are in charge of that, not the Olympic Committee, but a lot of people are in charge of it on Japan's side, mm-hmm. are like, no, we're going to go, things are good. We're going to go ahead. Cause it's going to be a massive loss for them.
Yeah.
If it's still going to happen in Tokyo, it's still going to happen there, mm-hmm. but yeah, just, yes, man.
Will they do the empty arena thing?
You can't even do that because you got to have people traveling from different countries. And that's not good right now.
Mm-hmm.
So even doing it in an empty arena is not going to help. But again, it takes place in like the first week of, again, this is the GDC situation. You know, they probably looked at, well, the Olympics is still happening at that point. So let's just put it around that time. I don't know. I think it was too early.
Say it's happening.
Yeah, I think it was too early, but that's just me. So, what about this Doom thing? Doom has released, as far as PC is concerned, but it does not have any DRM attached to it.
Yeah, so I posted up a picture in chat earlier. It says Doom Eternal status cracked after 0 days.
Yeah. Like, right as it released.
Cracked the same day, even though it wasn't even cracked. Did you read the article, or did you read
I'm skimming over it right now.
I think I saw a little bit of a Reddit post.
Was it intentional?
They were asking.
It's not the first time it's happened.
Right, not with Bethesda, right?
No. It was just the Bethesda installer download, and it came with a... How do you say it? I never can say it right. Devano?
De Novo, I think?
De Novo. Yeah, never say it right.
It's a DRM. It just came with DRM. Just put it that way.
Yeah, it came with it, but then within another file, the base.exe that basically bypasses that was still in the game file for just the Bethesda downloader install.
Mm-hmm.
And if you launch that, it just makes you sign in, and then you sign in. However, people have already figured out a way to skip that part, too.
Right, yeah.
So,
it seems like it was just... Yeah, it seems like either somebody forgot something or somebody made it intentional.
It's either just a complete accident or...
But the fact that this has happened twice, at least... What was it? Rage 2, I think. Yeah, Rage 2. This also appears to be something Bethesda has done before with Rage 2, where it forgot to ship the DRM-enabled executable in the Bethesda launcher version, once again making the job of pirates even easier. Oh, there's swimming in there? There was a review. He said the combat was cathartic, but lamented the platforming and swimming sections. Yuck. You don't swim in Doom.
I've heard from a little bit of, I'll eventually play it, but what I've heard mainly a lot is it's very quakey.
Huh. What does that mean?
A lot of quake aspects of it.
Yeah, but what does that mean? What is a quake aspect?
It took more of the, instead of the Doom, just, you know, the go in there and shoot them all up, it was more of a little bit more open style running and gunning type. And the layouts were, it was more that the maps were kind of set up like a Doom style.
Yeah.
I mean, a Quake style, excuse me. Unlike the last one.
I've only played a little bit into this, the one from 2016.
That one I've beaten that one twice.
Yeah, I've only played a little bit into it. You know, I wrote about it in the show post where it's like, there's only really so much you can say about Doom because it's just like, go here, shoot this. You know, there's really not a lot of variety to it. However, if you can find a way to make something that really only does that one thing and does it very well, but if you can find a way to make it not feel repetitive, you know, not feel like, okay, here I'm doing just different scenery, same old thing. But to not feel like that, then you've really done good. And they kind of... I started to see some of that in just like the second or third level I was in.
Yeah. You know what it totally makes me think of every time I launch that, the 2016 version, is that it's a great bro shooter. Like, you just hang out with friends, drinking, playing it or something.
Because
you know?
It's like watching a Transformers film.
Yeah. Yeah. You just turn your mind off.
Yeah, just turn your brain off and play.
You don't have to think.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's my thought on it, anyway.
So, Nate, when you say quakey, so it's like geared for first-person first-person multiplayer shooter, that type of game.
The two reviews I was just reading, they were just saying that the maps felt like Quake in that the way the guns were set up and then the way the monsters and such were positioned, it just felt like that style instead of more of a locked in a room shooting. Mm-hmm. A little bit more opened out, running around type shooting.
Okay.
Is what they're explaining.
Well, I thought I was going to run out of stuff to talk about here, just like we did last week. But fear not.
But wait, there's more.
Our morning our morning show service has provided us with fodder.
What'd they give you?
Well, I remember last time they gave us the movies, right? Video games that would make good movies.
Video games that would make good movies, and they asked anybody but gamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Strong National Museum of Play has just named the 12 games that have been nominated for this year's World Video Game Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. They nominate games that have significantly impacted the video game industry, popular culture, or society. And this is who we've got this year. A total of 12 nominations, where 4 are picked.
Okay.
So, RJ, I'm going to turn to you.
Okay.
And I'm going to list off the 12 nominations.
All right.
And you pick, as I hang up on that phone call, and you pick the 4 as we go.
Okay.
Or see if you can.
All right.
It's going to be hard to pick these because obviously if you don't know what's coming next, you kind of be like, well, I want to save that or I want to keep that or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to change it as we go.
Okay.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego from 1985?
Okay.
And Nate, you can chime on this too. Uncharted 2 from 2009.
Okay.
Super Smash Bros. Melee. That's the GameCube version from 2001.
Okay.
Nokia Snake.
Excuse me?
The game you would play on the old Nokia phone.
Next.
The Snake thing from 1997.
Next.
I was going to put that in mine. NBA Jam from 93. Minecraft. If I got to pick 4, Minecraft's going to be one of them that goes in there.
Okay.
Just it's a huge. That thing was a.
It was a phenom.
I mean, massive. King's Quest from 1984.
Never played it.
Guitar Hero from 2005. That's another one that goes in there for me.
Okay.
Just because of everything, again, massive, big. Huge thing that started a whole, like, instrument playing thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to the top 4 now. And, Nate, neither one of you have picked any one of these to go into the Hall of Fame.
I got to see the list first before I make a pick.
I'm letting you go through all of them, and then I was going to say.
Well, I was going to say, you can change these out. So if you pick one in and then you hear something better, you'd be like, no, let me take that out and go with this one.
I'm going to see them all before I make a choice like that.
Well, and I'm looking at the list, so.
Oh, you've got the list. Okay, number 4 is GoldenEye 007. Yep. From 97.
Okay.
That is. Yeah, I'm going to leave that out. I actually never played that, but I know how big it was for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it being played, mm-hmm. but I never actually played it. Mm-hmm. Number 3 is Frogger.
Okay.
That is one I add to my list.
Mm-hmm.
I would give that just simply for its appearance in an episode of Seinfeld. Number 2 is Centipede from 1981, and number 1 is Bejeweled from 2001. Now, if you need to look at that list again, you can.
I just typed it out.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Wow. Out of these 12, pick 4.
Out of those 12, pick 4, yes.
So my one thing I'll ask you real quick, is this for what I think would actually go into the Hall of Fame or for me personally?
I'd like to know what yours personally would be out of these 12 that we mentioned. Pick your 4. I don't know how they're going to pick. I mean, I feel like they're going to go with Centipede, Frogger, Minecraft, and Snake. Because they're going to be the oldest ones on the list. Well, they're not. Because King's Quest is, there's a lot that's older than Minecraft. But Minecraft had the huge cultural phenomenon that it had. I figure that's going in there regardless. Frogger is going in there because it's classic.
But would you have it in there personally? I mean, for you.
Oh, personally for me, it's going to be Uncharted 2. For me, Uncharted 2, Frogger, Nokia Snake. I'm not kidding. I used to play that thing a ton.
Me too.
And Guitar Hero. That would be my four that I would personally pick.
Okay.
So.
Okay. RJ?
I got three, but I'm trying to figure out the fourth one.
Lethal Migraine says that his would be Snake, NBA Jam, Minecraft, and GoldenEye. Fubel Plays It says it's Carmen Sandiego, King's Quest, Frogger, and NBA Jam. AC Wraith has King's Quest, which is, well, he doesn't, I don't know if he's picking that one or he's just saying, oh, King's Quest, classic Sierra adventure game series. Thar66 says Guitar Hero Rock Band has to be in mine. I agree. Guitar Hero launched that whole thing, man. And Guitar Hero was a phenomenon in itself. I remember when people were trying to find guitars because they had two people and you to find the extra guitar, it was very hard to do.
Yeah. Something else about it was, what was the other game? Guitarsmith? That was more
Rocksmith.
Rocksmith. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry about that.
That was more actually playing the guitar.
That was more actually learning how to play a guitar, but
Guitar Hero was more... No one wanted
to do
that. Right? Yeah. Yeah, but Guitar Hero was more simplified in terms of teaching, well, teaching
yes, it was.
Things about playing guitar. Okay, for me, I'd probably go with Frogger, Centipede, Minecraft, and... Smash Melee because it introduced a lot of casual folks to the fighting game genre, even though there's debate between whether
or not it's
a fighting game or not. But it is competitive. It's featured in all the fighting game tournaments. So on that alone, introducing a lot of people to another genre in a different way.
See, that's the difference here. Like you're fight man. You know,
yeah,
you're the brawler guy, and so I see where you're drawn to that.
Yeah,
Minecraft
for the phenomenon, Frogger and Centipede because they're classics that's still fun and playable and enjoyable to this day, and Smash Melee for introducing a lot of folks to another genre of video gaming.
Centipede was just so boring. I remember playing it in a pizza parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Centipede was just like the Frogger for me because it had so much color on the screen.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was like, yeah, I'm playing
Centipede
this.
Centipede was hard because of pizza grease on the trackball.
Right? Centipede, I don't think I could ever get my mind around like how to play it, whereas Frogger was just like, I need to get from here to here and not die.
And
Centipede was, I keep leaving these things behind, these mushrooms. What is this going? I don't know.
I got tired of mushrooms getting in the way of my shots. That's what got me.
Centipede was like space joust. Like joust was, I didn't understand joust.
Yeah, it took me a while to realize how the position of where I had to be to take out my opponent. It was like it was just a bunch of butting heads, and it was supposed to be, high ground has the advantage in that game.
Nate, where did you sit with yours?
I'm give you two real quick. Okay. One, what I think will make it in there, and mine would be. What I think will make it in there is Super Smash, Minecraft, King Quest, and Snake.
Yeah, and what are yours?
The ones I think will. The one what I would have in there is GoldenEye.
Most of these were before you were born.
That doesn't matter. Whatever. Not half of them. I played a ton. GoldenEye. I played a ton of Bejeweled and Snake, so those are both tough.
Okay, but what about your others?
I'm going to go with one or the other. I'm going to go with Snake. Probably played more Snake, and then Guitar Hero. So GoldenEye, Snake, Guitar Hero,
and
probably Frogger. I played a lot of Frogger.
All right,
I still do. I got an emulator myself. Hey, quick question.
Those would be mine.
Make it a very quick question.
Why Uncharted 2?
Why pick Uncharted 2?
No, no. Why Uncharted 2? I mean a sequel. One was the one that started off with that one, right?
No,
I would think Uncharted
would
be
bigger than one.
Uncharted 2 is huge, yeah.
They're just big.
Yes.
Size scale. Okay.
Yeah. I imagine Last of Us will make that list pretty soon if it's not already. Just for what it did too. So but yeah, Uncharted 2 is huge. When it released and what it did and the tech that they were using at the time and how they made some of that stuff play out
and how
whatever.
They did it.
Yeah. Just unreal. So hey Nate, we gotta run, man. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Stay safe. Talk to you later.
Take care now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And for everybody else, thank you so much. We do have to run. Have a great week. We are not doing a show next week. We will do one the week after. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. Music here from a game called Death and Taxes. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe and keep others safe as well. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.